How about now? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's go ahead and start with the last verse in chapter 12. Kind of bring everything to fresh thoughts this evening. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity bondeth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Verse 5 is our text. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we enter into this passage of Scripture with, Lord, a great desire to know more of this excellent way. And we know that the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of love, must guide and direct not only our minds, but our hearts. We wish so much to covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet we wish to adorn them with this Queen of Graces, that those gifts might be used to the fullness of their capacity. Father, we do so desire and long for Thee to speak to our hearts tonight. Make us, Lord God, the servants we need to be. Speak to us, we pray, for it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. It covets earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. The Apostle Paul would have every true believer to earnestly covet or desire the best gifts. Now that's simply whatever God has given to you. And each one of us have a gift. Some people have difficulty finding it, but we all have different gifts that we can somehow help our fellow man. It's not just combined to Christianity. Christians should of themselves naturally, in this world of sorrow, spread good cheer, spread hospitality, kindness. They should be benevolent in all their dealings. And so we all have gifts, and Paul would encourage every true believer to covet earnestly these best gifts, yet not for selfish gain or praise, but for the benefit and well-being of God's church. God does something to His children when He saves them. And I know it's something tremendous. It's something great. Something that we can't fathom in our finite minds. But one thing God does is He changes our entire character, our attitude, and our behavior. We're not the same person. When Paul says we're a new creature in Christ, behold, the old is done away with, he means absolutely everything. The way we think, the way we behave, the way we act, the way we conduct ourselves. And so Paul would say and encourage every believer in chapter 12 that they should earnestly covet these best gifts, yet not for personal or selfish gain, but to profit the church of God, basically. Mankind in general, but the church of God, basically. That the church can be edified and grow. That the church can be blessed and strengthened. And unity would grow. We have a lot of things that would seek to upset the unity amongst the believers. Paul deals with that in chapter 12 about the different members in the church. And there's a lot of things, beloved, that would seek to disturb that unity, to disturb the church from growing and being edified in Christ. And so we have to be careful that we exercise these gifts for the well-being of the church. Twice, he didn't mention it by name, but I talked to him later, twice in his radio program, our dear brother would speak very highly of our church. And I'm humbled by that, but he would speak very highly of our church. That's a testimony to the community coming from somebody else. Let another man praise thee and not your own lips. And yet, beloved, we need to be cautious and careful that we do, as we covet these best gifts, that our desire is to profit with all, what Paul said in chapter 12. That our church might grow and be edified. Well, there's going to be times when it's going to be difficult. We're going to have maybe some differences of opinions, and we're maybe even going to be able to maybe provoke one another, hopefully in a good way, but we need to constantly be coveting these best gifts that the church might be benefited from it. And that's Paul's desire in writing in chapter 12. And yet in all our endeavors to covet these best gifts, the Apostle Paul would declare that charity must adorn and motivate them all. This is the excellent way. He said, while you're coveting, while you're endeavoring to covet those best gifts, to use those best gifts, he said, here's a more excellent way, a way that these gifts might be able to function in their fullness. He said, adorn them with charity. Let charity be your motivation. Let charity be the source of your energy, your power, your influence. Let charity be that that sets the wheels of your service in action. Let charity be that which causes your hands to reach out, your heart to be touched, and your mind to be moved for the well-being of the church. Let charity influence everything that you do in seeking the well-being of the church. This Queen of all graces must crown even the greatest gifts, otherwise they shall never profit with all. Should our gifts be measured by this Queen of all graces, I fear we shall find many talented, knowledgeable, intelligent, yet vain gifts amongst God's people. For every gift which is not motivated or governed by charity shall prove to benefit no one and only weaken the cause of Christ and His church. That's the essence of what Paul is saying here. That's why he starts out in these first verses declaring the vanity of even the greatest gifts without charity. He proves his point. He said, covet these best gifts. But if you have these best gifts and you have not charity, even these best gifts will profit nobody. They'll be vain and empty. You'll be nothing. The gifts that you have will benefit nobody, will profit nobody, will not glorify God. So he puts an emphasis on charity, as though without charity, these best gifts, and they would, be profitless. God puts a high emphasis on love. You know that? He puts a very high emphasis on love. Regardless of how the world tries to turn love into lust and change the true biblical meaning of love, God puts a high priority on love. And having declared that in the first three verses, the Apostle Paul moves on to declare the true value and qualities of this more excellent way in verses 4 to 8. And each one of these gracious qualities declares how the best gifts, when adorned with charity, are brought to their fullness and greatest influence. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. Here we see how charity, when coupled with such gifts, influences and governs our behavior. Listen to the words. It's the only time he uses the word behave. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly, indiscreet. Charity affects and influences our behavior. We're always talking to our children about that. Check that behavior, boy, girl. Behave yourself. What are we telling our children? You're not behaving properly. Well, charity affects our behavior when we're exercising these gifts to profit with all. Our behavior should be influenced and affected by charity. It enables us to carry or conduct ourselves discreetly, showing good judgment in our words, actions, and affairs. That's what unseemly means. Having good judgment in our actions, in our words, in our affairs. Being discreet in our behavior. It's using judgment and discretion and discernment as we exercise these gifts. You see, because we can have a gift and not exercise that gift in a proper attitude and behavior. Believe me, and you've probably seen it yourself. Let me pick on preachers for a while. I've known many preachers that do that. They have the problem of standing in the pulpit preaching the truth, yet their behavior so often taints the truth they're preaching because of their attitude or behavior. And that's also the same way it is amongst Christians. It might be true that what I'm saying is of the truth. Yet, beloved, the question is, how are we proclaiming or declaring that truth? Is it on lips of charity that behave not unseemly? Or is it just the letter of the law? You see, God would show us through the Apostle Paul that charity influences our behavior as we exercise our gifts. This is very important for us to understand and grasp what the Apostle Paul is saying tonight about this discretion. This is one of the qualities which David was known and respected for. Remember, we studied David, still studying David in Sunday school, 1 Samuel 16, when Saul said, "Find me somebody to play music." He says, David is a man of war and prudent in matters. That's the same thing as discretion. He's prudent in matters. He's a man that can discern. He's a man that has judgment in his words and his actions. He conducts and carries himself discreetly. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. It's not indiscreet. It's the opposite of that. So when I'm exercising my gifts, Paul is saying, if I adorn that gift with charity, I am going to exercise that gift with prudence, with discretion. And that is going to bring that gift to the height of its capacity. It's going to be more influential. Beloved, the sharpest edge of the sword of God is still love. We win a lot more people to the truth by being charitable than we are argumentative. It doesn't mean that we don't contend for the faith. We'll see that later on when it says rejoice is not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Every prudent man, says Proverbs 13:16, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. How often has knowledge missed its mark and been unprofitable because of the lack of prudence, discretion, judgment, the right behavior in conducting my words and my action? Well, but this is very difficult for us to do because we're not from nature here. That's not something that's natural to nature. This is charity is a gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's not natural for us. We need to pray that the Spirit of God would enable us to know more about this aspect or this quality of charity, that it behaveth itself not unseemly, discreetly, indiscreetly. Prudence or discretion will use knowledge, listen to me, cautiously. It will use knowledge wisely, considering well time, place, and persons. It thinks before it reacts. Proverbs says, a fool uttereth his whole mind. In other words, he doesn't think before he says something. But prudence, because charity doesn't behave itself unseemly or indiscreetly, prudence will help the believer to exercise his gift cautiously, wisely, considering the place, the time, and the persons. Who am I talking to here? What are they going through? What do they know? Where are they at when it comes to knowing Scripture? Where are they at when it comes to knowing the things of God? How old are they? What are they going through at the moment? That's what prudence does. That's what discretion does. And so my gift that God's given me, when I exercise it with this quality, beloved, my gift is going to really be influential on other people. And many times we don't see that happening. Sometimes we spit out the truth without considering what we're saying. It's the truth. Yet is the timing right? Am I saying it properly? Am I behaving myself properly? Am I speaking with words of prudence? Am I judging? Am I discerning properly here? Is this the right time to say this? Lord, how should I say it? Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. And that same verse says, but a fool layeth open his folly. In other words, he just speaks his mind without thinking. Charity checks that spirit of indiscretion. Charity says, no, wait a minute. Let's not be so harsh. I would much rather, and I've said this before, but I would much rather err on the side of grace than on judgment. In other words, God help me to, when I'm dealing with other people, help me to err on the side of being more gracious than more judgmental simply because I have my convictions about things. Help me to be a little bit more gracious. Maybe they don't understand. Maybe they haven't been taught that. Somebody was telling me today about somebody in another religion, how they were responding and acting to what they said, and I said, well, that's how they've been taught. They don't know how to respond any other way because they've been taught false religion. And so often, in our blind zeal for the truth of God, we lack this virtue of discretion, and knowledge misses its mark. Because we're not thinking, how can I best help this person? I don't want to just be able to voice my opinions. I want to help them. Amen? God, give me wisdom and grace that I might be able to, that my words and my actions, that I might conduct my affairs with this discretion. Charity would check such a spirit and move us to prudence and discretion, guiding our conduct and our character while enabling us to show good judgment in word, action, and affairs of life. That's how we should carry ourselves. And beloved, this doesn't come natural for us. This doesn't come natural for us. It helps us to show good judgment in our words and in our actions and affairs of life. People see that we're people of prudence, of discretion. And they should see that in believers. I remember when we was preaching on the streets down to in the Harlem part of Heilbronn with all the junkies and drug addicts and everything else and homeless for years. The way that we carried ourselves before these people, and I believe it was with discretion, it won their trust. And it enabled us to be able to speak to these people openly. They began to open themselves up. Why? Because most of the guys who was down there, Brother Stan, Steve, myself, and Guy, were ex-alcoholics and drunkies. And druggies. We kind of knew where they was coming from, so we could relate with them. And we did our best to show them that we cared for them. And beloved, it does have a more powerful effect on people when we try to relate to them where they're coming from. What have you been taught? I mean, I had one instance I had when I first got saved, and I learned my lesson on that one. But we had a guy in our church, and he was a King James only, everything else heresy type guy. Amen? And he followed this guy down in Florida. I won't say his name, but I mean, if you didn't have a King James Bible, you were a heretic. And he would just let people know that. Well, we had a guy coming on Wednesday night services. And I mean, he came in, he wasn't really dressed for services. I mean, he was kind of loosely dressed, but had his Bible and everything, and his mother had given it to him before she died, and it was an NIV. And so he got after services to talk to this guy, and I'm sitting back there going, this isn't going to be good. I mean, I wasn't saved very long, but I knew this wouldn't be good. But long story short, he said, well, let me show you what I'm talking about. And he took him up to the pulpit, and behind the pulpit, he stood up there with this guy, and he said, I'll just tell you the truth, your Bible's of the devil, it's of hell. And this guy about broke out in tears. His mother gave it to him just recently, short before she died. Now, he meant good, but he lacked prudence. This is an illustration of what I'm talking about. We can have knowledge and we can have the truth, yet charity, when our knowledge of that truth is adorned with charity, charity will not behave itself unseemly. It will consider. Why? Because it seeks to help, not hinder. Amen? We want people to come to the knowledge of the truth. We want them to embrace it like we do. We want them to see the truth as we believe it to be in God's Word. That's our desire. And charity will keep us focused on that and won't have us act with indiscretion or lack of judgment. Beloved, this is necessary, especially in this community when you've got 22 different churches and how many different denominations, and a lot of these people don't know anything else. That's all they've been taught. A lot of these Christians, you ask about define sovereignty of God or the providence of God or omnipotence or anything else, and most of them say, I don't even know what you're talking about. They don't know anything else. So if we're going to reach people with the truth, we need to have this charity that doesn't behave itself unseemly. This quality was also found without measure in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as He walked amongst men. Isaiah 52:13 said, Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. Speaking of the Lord, my servant shall deal prudently. It was a quality of our Lord. Now with that said, with all the reading you've had in the Gospels, try to run through your mind just some of the instances He met with, whether it was tax collectors or the Pharisees, and how He responded to them. Remember when they came and tempted Him? And said, what do we do with this coin here? And the Lord said, whose face is on it? Caesar's. Well, give Him the Caesar what it sees. Remember how He prudently dealt with people? In John chapter 3, He meets Nicodemus, a religious master, in the middle of the night. He says, Nicky, you have to be born again. You have to be born again, Nicky. You're a religious leader. You should know that. You have to be born again. The very next chapter, He deals with a woman that's been married how many times? 7, I think. And He says, you know what? You need some water because you're very thirsty. You drink of my water, you'll never thirst again. You see how He dealt with them? Some blind men, He would just use a little mud. Some He'd just touch them. He dealt with each individual prudently. Amen? Who am I talking to? How much do they know? Where do they come from? What's their background? Why? Because I want to reach them with the truth. Charity helps us to exercise that gift prudently. Real quickly, because this kind of just goes together. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. That's why it doesn't behave itself unseemly. Because charity does not seek her own. It only follows with such prudence or discretion that it does not seek its own pleasure, profit, or advantage, but it lives and works for others. Amen? It lives and works for others. Love your neighbor as yourself. As Christians, we live for others. You know that? We live for others. That's why it's good if you've got situations, even in your family, to where it's called on you to exercise prudence. And sometimes that's where we're going to get the greatest testing right there. When our own family members do something, say something, live terribly, live ungodly, do something that's just maybe stupid or out of this world or ungodly, and we're called on to deal with it. Those kind of situations teach us prudence. And are we going to just charge in there like a bull in a china closet? And just tell them the way it is and lay it out? Or are we going to say, listen, I want to use some prudence here, God. I want to be able to adorn my gifts with charity that I might seek to help these people because I'm not seeking my own, I'm seeking their well-being. As we'll see when we get to that part with the husbands, which is very quickly, when it says, husband, love your wives. Isn't it amazing that the Bible tells the male, the head, the stronger one, to love? He should be the one that stimulates love. Not the weaker vessel, but the stronger vessel. That's an amazing truth. Amazing. Most men think that to be sissy-fied. But I'm telling you, the Bible says love should be stimulated from the husband in the family. Not the mother. And you'd think opposite, wouldn't you? You'd think the mother's the weaker one. She's the more emotional one. She should be. No, the husband is to love. Amen? No headship. No love, no headship. Amen? Your authority is powerless without love. But we'll get on that from Sunday. But beloved, Paul is describing the qualities and virtues of charity so that we might be more knowledgeable, more informed about how charity works with our best gifts. Because if all we're doing is coveting the best gifts, and we have, for example, knowledge, yet we don't have charity to motivate us in that knowledge, we're not going to use that knowledge properly. And we're going to miss our mark. Charity helps us that don't happen. I'll close with these thoughts, and it has to do with both these verses, where he said, it behaveth not itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. 1 Corinthians 10:24 and Romans 15:1. 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. That is a mouthful of truth. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. That's what charity does. I want another man to be wealthy spiritually. I want them to be enriched in Christ. I want them to know the Lord. I want them to be wealthy in Christ. More than I seek it for myself. Wow. Romans 15:1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You want to see a mature Christian who understands something about prudence, working with their best gifts? It's going to be an elderly Christian, a mature Christian, is going to be someone who exercises patience and long-suffering with those who don't know as much. Amen? Who are not as well educated in the things of God. That's what Romans 15:1 means, the infirmities of the weak. Those things that maybe that novice or that young believer hasn't got a hold of yet. Maybe they haven't grasped it yet. A mature Christian will be patient, exercise prudence, judgment in his words, his actions. Why? Because he wants to help that younger believer come to the knowledge of the truth. He doesn't want to simply just proclaim it. He wants him to receive it. Amen? And believe me, beloved, you want to break a hard heart? You want to break a stubborn heart? You want to break somebody's stubbornness? Love will do it a whole lot quicker than judgment and condemnation and criticism. Love will do it a whole lot quicker. Amen? And it makes it a lot easier for that erring brother or that erring individual to accept the truth. Amen? If we've got trouble with pride as believers, imagine what a lost man has trouble with pride when we tell him he has his need of Christ. Amen? But we still have that problem amongst us as believers. It's a lot easier to receive rebuke when you know the rebuke comes from a loving brother and sister. The wounds of a friend. Amen? The wounds of a friend. So, may God grant us much prudence, discretion. Charity, amen, does not behave itself unseemly. Doesn't seek her own. Amen? May God grant us knowledge and understanding in this. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You again for this night. We thank You for Thy Word, and how we do pray that You'll continue to instruct us step by step in this Queen of all graces. Father, we lack so much of it in our own lives. God, we are in desperate need of the Spirit of God to take these truths that we've heard and, Lord, impart them not only in our hearts and our minds, but in the exercising of those best gifts, Father. When we covet earnestly those best gifts, help us, we pray, O God, that they would be motivated and governed by charity so that, Lord, our best gifts might be used to their capacity. And, Father, people would be influenced. And, Father, we could see how You work mightily through us in spite of ourselves. Father, we give You all the praise and all the glory. For it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.